Well, this morning we're going to continue through the New Testament as we're in 2 Corinthians now, studying through. Chapter 2 this morning is where we'll be picking up the message. We did go through verses 1 and 2, but just we'll read those. There is something somewhat significant that I wanted to make mention of when I kind of saw this and know what we talked about on Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening, we're in the Old Testament. Wednesday evening, we spent time, and as we went through 1 Samuel now is where we are traveling through the Old Testament. And in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, was a kind of a significant little mention there. And it said, "And David said in his heart," and basically it means in the original language that he talked with himself. He had a conversation with himself. He interacted with himself about something. And that's kind of a dangerous thing to do. It's not that conversing with yourself in and of itself is necessarily all bad, but it was an interesting kind of area of scripture that we covered. For me, it answered a whole lot of questions. I have a large file drawer in my mind with just tons of questions where I've read through and I've studied and I've learned certain things, and then, wow, I don't know what to do with that. I don't understand that situation or why that reoccurring thing goes on, or I don't understand this, God. So I put it in that file in my mind of waiting for further information because I don't know what to do with it yet. And one of my questions has been, you know, how things, people get so close sometimes to a good, and we're all a part of this, how we get so close to a breakthrough in our lives, but then somehow something we start thinking through on our own, and we start trying to work through it in our own mindset and how things work out. I just encourage you to listen to that because I can't get into all of it. I encourage you to listen to the study later because that'll probably be more helpful because it's kind of a full thought process. But a lot of us found it very, very, very beneficial. And the dangers of just taking your own counsel is the point. Because we can, in our minds, reason through things, come up with conclusions, and then take action based on those conclusions and leave ourselves in a seriously dangerous place. And ultimately, somewhat partnering with the enemy in certain ways. I just encourage you to listen to that. But that to be said, that goes on. That's a concern. I wonder oftentimes how things, you know, all of a sudden I'll have a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden they've developed their judge, jury, and hangman, and I'm swinging from a yardarm somewhere. And this is the first I've known of anything that was going on. You guys know that kind of thing happens sometimes, and it's from taking counsel within ourselves and from not really hearing from the Lord. The significance is that you and I are hearing from the Lord. That being said, verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "But I, Paul speaking, determined within myself that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me?" And so he's just talking about, hey, I don't want to show up and be bumming you guys out when, you know, you guys bring great joy to me and now I'm bumming you out. He goes, because of the letter that he had written, 1 Corinthians was a very serious letter. He had a lot of concerns about things that were going on. So he loved on them, but he was very clear about some certain things, and he wasn't sure how they took that. We're going to talk about that a little bit further, but this one thought of, but I determined within myself. So there is a healthy determining or working through and thinking through things. There is a healthy process to that. It's not all bad to work through things and think through things. I don't want to be misunderstood on that. Man, I really, really encourage you, because in Jeremiah he said, very clearly, our hearts are wickedly deceitful. In other words, I can talk myself. I will deceive myself in my mind about something, and I will draft conclusions. And you and I, you're sitting, I know, some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, that's, you know, I understand, but I don't do that. Oh, yeah, you do. Just by that very thought, you're doing it. Because it's self-deception. We're masters at it. We can talk ourselves into this thing because we feel this way about it, and then we talk ourselves out. But what's wild is that's deceitful. It's deceptive. That's one thought. And then it says it's wicked. In other words, its origin is evil. That's wild to think that we're just in and of ourselves. But see, we don't think that about ourselves, except for the Bible says about you and me, there is no good thing that dwelleth in me, except for God. But we don't like that. That's not, that doesn't build up our self-esteem. Our world says that's bad. Don't bring that kind of thing up. But it's the truth. The Bible, I love that about the Bible. It mirrors for me and you who we really are apart from God. And then it also shows us who we are in the Lord. There is healthy internal communication that can go on, that you and I can have. There's healthy communication that you can have, and it involves God. It involves God's word. It's very helpful. It, that latter part of we're not there yet, as things kind of conclude in 1 Samuel, I just want to read this to you out of chapter 30. They had gotten back to Ziklag, and they were engaged in a battle, and they had left that area, left their families there, and they got back, and now all of a sudden, David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's wives and all of the other women had been taken captive, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. They had lost their families due to this situation that had occurred. And again, there's an issue of why all of that took place to begin with. But they're very distraught. He's concerned and what's happening. But this is, look at what David, he learned. He learned from that error. In verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." He's not reasoning just in his own mind anymore. He's really reaching out to God, and he's asking God for help in this matter. It's very interesting, in this Psalm 42 kind of talks about this also, and how it played out for him when he was in this kind of a distraught mode. And there's a right way to have healthy communication with yourself. Psalm 42, verse 5 is where we'll just pick it up. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" So he's interacting with himself. What's going on inside me? "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Hey, what's going on? You know, why am I feel so unsettled? I like that word, disquieted. You know, just unsettled. I'm uneasy about things. I'm not sure what's going on. Why is that happening? And then this is what he says. He's talking to himself. "Why are you cast down, on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" He's talking to himself. And then he says, "Hope in God." You see, he's not just reasoning with his own resource and that's it now. He's going out past that, isn't he? And he's pulling from a greater, vaster resource, the person of God. "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep, and the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life." Basically, this whole little, this Psalm 42, 11 verses, he's just interacting with the Lord about his situation, and he's pouring his heart out, but he's not looking to himself to find comfort. He's not looking to himself to find the answers. He's looking past that, and he's looking to God. I wanted to bring, some of you that make it on Wednesday nights, I wanted to bring you the flip side. There's that one side of, we got to be careful when we're just talking with ourselves and interacting with ourselves, drafting all our own conclusions. And I made the point that, man, we got to really, that's dangerous ground. We ought not to do that. But then there is on the, isn't it great how God's word, I could have never planned this, but how God's word brings it back up to us here. This is the right way to interact. Paul was interacting right. He determined within himself. You know, that self-determination is a very powerful thing, isn't it? To determine or to purpose to do something, make a decision, this is what I'm going to do. I think that's very wonderful when we come up with those kind of conclusions and get to that. So Paul is just saying, hey, he had a good conversation. This is, I want to give you the flip side. Healthy interaction and communication inside yourself is possible, and it's good, but it involves God. It always will involve God. By yourself, we're going to corrupt ourselves. But we got to bring God into it. We got to look as God as our source. So if you're trying to figure out all your problems, or if I'm trying to figure out all my problems, we're going to end up short. It's not going to come together for us. But when we look out past ourselves and trust in God, we're going to find God to do great things for us. Let's read on in verse 3. So Paul's heart in this, he doesn't want to be misunderstood. He's bummed that maybe he's made them sorrowful by his written communication in 1 Corinthians. He's concerned about that gosh, you know, you guys bring such joy to me, and now I'm kind of bumming you out. It's just not what he wants. And I wrote this very thing to you in verse 3, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Because I want to come together and just have good fellowship together. I don't want it. Now remember, he hasn't heard back yet. He's in his mind, he's kind of conveying that at these thoughts that were going on prior to this interaction that he has with Titus. He sent this letter on 1 Corinthians. He's waiting now to hear back. It doesn't happen as instantly as what we shoot an email off, and man, if we haven't heard in 3 minutes, we wonder what's going on, you know? Instant messaging, you know, and all that stuff. It's supposed to happen right then. Well, this is like weeks and months and stuff go by. Long time goes by before he knows how did this land on them. For out of much affliction in verse 4 and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. I have a African-American friend. He's been my friend for probably 26 years or more. And when we're talking, we had a very interesting conversation. I've watched over the years, I've had a lot of conversations with him about a lot of different things. He's a real close brother. And recently, I had seen him. We were traveling together, and I had seen him and his wife. And they were talking about something. It wasn't a heated discussion or anything, okay? They weren't upset with each other, but they were having a very intense conversation about something. I was sitting in the room. I was a victim of the circumstance. It wasn't, I didn't invite myself in on their situation. I was just there, and they were having this kind of, not. It wasn't bad, or it was just kind of heavy discussion, and they were looking at each other, and then they stopped, and they look at each other, and he's going, do you feel me? Do you feel me? Now, culturally, I'm not totally up to speed with all of what's going on, but I got what was happening. Some of you maybe, you know, have, you know, black friends and stuff, and you might know that culturally, that's a conversational term, which means, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what's really going on inside of me? Are we really communicating? Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment? I'm looking at Paul. Sorry, Paul, but is that a fair statement? Yeah, okay, but that's a term, right? That culturally is used. So, hey, I'm just a real person, you guys. I got no problem. Paul and I know that I look at my. We know each other. It's all fine. But you get what I'm saying? It's not a color thing. It's a culture thing. It's just different culture. And there's a question being asked. Do you feel me? That's what Paul is saying in those two verses. Verses 3 and 4. He's saying, hey, man, do you, I'm not sure that you heard my heart in what I was saying to you through my letter, through my communication. That gets really, really, really important. Do we really, really hear the heart of the Lord when we're going through his word? You can go through and tell me all your theological stuff, you know, and all that stuff, and quote all kinds of Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff, and it's zero to me if you haven't really heard from the heart of God and what God was really saying. It's very significant. It's the most significant thing because, let's read on. I want to quote a couple of things for you to know, because to hear the heart, the intent of what Paul was saying was so, so important. Luke 8:18 says, be careful, Jesus, quoting Jesus, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. That means that I can hear words,
but miss the intent. Then you know that that happens. I have found, for me, it goes really, really well, much better anyway, not always perfectly well, I assure you, but very much better generally, when it's in person, a conversation, especially if it's of a fairly serious nature. Some of you guys experience that too, you know, it's just because they can see countenance. They can see you can see more of your facial expressions and your body language, and they can see more of your heart, of what you're trying to convey on a personal level and to get what's saying. Sometimes when you're just saying something over the phone or even in written correspondence, it's very important to think through. I encourage you, be cautious with your emails, with your texting, be cautious with, because once it's out there, we live in a world where it's there forever. We got to be cautious and use wisdom about that, because once you send it out, it's out. And it's hard to get that back, you know, once you've made some blanket statement. But the heart and the intent, that being conveyed, is so important. When I watched my friend talking to his wife that way, they both stopped and they said, yeah, I feel you. I know what you're saying. I get it. You know, I think that's so expressive. I think that's so true. That's what Paul is saying in just those two verses. He's saying, man, like Jesus said, be careful how you hear. The tone, the intent, what's meant. Guys, you can just tell your wives, hey, I love you. Or you can stop for a minute, you can look at them, and you can say, I love you. You can say it in such a way that means you care about everything that's going on. Above and beyond that, we can say that to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not just the songs we sing. Yes, that should be an expression from our hearts. But it's not just the words. Remember what Isaiah said? Your lips proclaim me, but your hearts are very far from me. You know. Now, why would it be that maybe, perchance, we're not saying really the right things sometimes? If we look at Mark chapter 7, some of you are thinking, are you planning on trying to get through this whole chapter today, or what are you thinking? We'll make it. Mark 7, verse 32, we'll pick it up. This is the deaf and mute person that Jesus was interacting with. They brought this one to him. Who was deaf in verse 32 and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. They wanted him to heal him. They wanted Jesus to heal him. So he wasn't hearing, and therefore he had speech trouble. That's not an uncommon pairing, is it? Trouble hearing and then a speech impediment. They often go hand in hand. True, we know this to be true. They're coming to Jesus, wanting him to heal him, and he took him aside from the multitude, brought him off to the side, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. I love the way Jesus does stuff. He could just speak it, and it would happen. He just does these unique things so that, you know, people would try and copy, and it doesn't matter. It won't. It's just the power of God. It's not the mimicking of that, it's just knowing him that it's all about. But Jesus does this thing. He kind of puts his fingers in his ears and watch what goes on. Then looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Epaphatha, that is, be opened. Then notice what happened with the healing. In verse 35, immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. His ears were opened, and the speech impediment. Where am I going with this? Out of the mouth, Jesus said, come the issues of the heart. Out of the mouth come the issues of the heart. Sometimes things are coming out that are reflective of what's going on in here. And we want to ask God, will you help me? And it's sometimes because we're not We're reading it, we're seeing the words on the paper, but we're not hearing the heart of God. And when we're not hearing the heart of God, we get going these other directions. We could be going down some legalistic path. We can take all these different things that Jesus said. Jesus said so many different things that were sometimes hard to fully comprehend. We can look at the parables and some of the things that we saw that Jesus talked about. The rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler turns away and goes on. And we're like, what? Jesus, why didn't you just grab the dude? Why'd you let him go? What's going on? You know, did we get the heart of that? Why did the dad let the prodigal son go? Why did he let him go? No, you're not doing that. No, he cut his share and let him go. Why did he do that? See, if we don't hear from the heart of God, we miss the whole message of what the Lord's wanting to convey. Let me ask you this. When you're reading through the Word, do you hear a loving Father speaking to you? Do you hear a dad that sees you as the absolute apple of his eye? That he would do absolutely anything and go to any length to reach you except force himself on you and violate your free will. I know the movie depicts nothing necessarily that great, but I was flicking through the channels yesterday and Bruce Almighty was on. I watched a couple of minutes of it, you know, and it just happened to be that part, interestingly enough. He wanted that gal back, even though he supposedly had all these God powers or something. He wanted this gal back, but he couldn't violate. And so he talks with God about this. I don't understand. So he looks at God, looks at him, and just says, yeah, that's the problem. I said, yeah. And myself, I thought, yeah, that's the problem. God won't force himself. But do we hear the things that God says through his word from a dad who loves us? Or do we hear it from a stern, strong, legalistic dictator who says, don't do this, do this, and if you don't, lightning's coming down and strike. What are we hearing? Let me break this down real quick. What about you and your interaction with someone else? See, if I'm not hearing that right from God, then when I'm interacting with someone else, I'm not going to be the gracious person that I ought to be. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm not getting that. I'm not hearing that the way I'm supposed to. And now I'm not speaking that. This person that was healed, his ears, he was able to hear, and now he could speak plainly. He was able to hear. And I think spiritually the same thing happens to you and me and affects our actions. If we're hearing from the Word, we're hearing from the Lord right, we're going to be able to speak things outright. Out of our hearts and out of our mouths, those things that are inside of us are going to come out, good or bad. And I think those are good challenges and good things for us to think on. If you want to look at a good filtration system or a way to kind of gauge this so that you can be cautious and know whether what I'm hearing, is this from God, or what am I hearing, is this from just some kind of enemy source, so to speak, go to James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. That's what I would recommend, and you can use that as your filter, or possibly as a hearing aid, like some of us need from time to time. Need some help being able to hear the heart of the Lord accurately and wisely. Paul, in just those two verses, is wanting to convey to the people there in Corinth, man, with many tears, out of much affliction, anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. He says, man, that's my heart. Did you hear my heart? That's what he's saying. Did you hear what I really wanted you to know? How significant, how important that is. When we opened up with prayer, we talked about the fact that we just have these one moments, these days. Today is a day that we just have a moment to interact with others, to be able to talk with others, to be able to have fellowship with others, to be able to convey to others around us the truth of how we feel about them. He goes on now and he starts to kind of set some things straight in verse 5, but if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe. He says, hey, look, I know the situation. And remember, we talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is kind of the circumstance. He said, remember that guy? You know, I told you to kind of put him out of the fellowship because he's not flying right. He's not walking right with the Lord. And you just need to put him out. He's living in sin, and he's pretending to be something, and he's not. You need to put him out. But this is what they've done. Remember, they were all okay with all of this. They were all okay with what was going on. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. In other words, okay, look at you guys. I think the guy got the message, you know? He got the message, you know? Love on him, you know, let him know that you affirm your love for that person. These are great lessons to learn in just even disciplinary actions in life and how sometimes we have to deal with different things. And man, even if you have to say something difficult, make sure you back it up also with love and comfort and encouragement. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm in verse 8 your love for him. Just good practical instructions. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Hey, he wanted to see, are you going to be willing to do the difficult things that need to be done? As a body of believers, are you going to be willing to do those things? Now, whom you forgive anything, I also will forgive. In the Lord, he's saying, hey, if you're forgiving him, I'm going to forgive him. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. He says, in my prayer, I brought this person to the Lord, and I've left him there in the hands of God, and I'm good with it. You know, I've left it with the Lord. Paul's saying, I don't hold a personal charge against this person at all. Lest Satan, in verse 11, should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we've from time to time spoken about those four or five things that Paul has mentioned through the scriptures, you know, the spiritual gifts, the end times. He talked about Israel as a nation itself. There's this little grouping of things that he said, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant of those things. And yet today aren't those things the things that the church is least informed about, and including the devices or the way Satan tries to do things. And we oftentimes don't see things quite in the spiritual lens of what all is happening around us. So often it's all spiritually charged, all of it. I'll read on and we'll see some more of this, how this plays out. He says, anyway, you don't want Satan to take advantage of the correction that was made was right, but don't let Satan take advantage of it by pushing it so far that that person's, you know, just drifted way away from the Lord. But reach out, love on him, and it's practical. It's good counsel. It's good things for us to take into our hearts and to know and to activate, because we know that the enemy would want to deceive that person and just say, see, you know, no one loves you. You're just too messed up for God, you know. And it gets inside people's minds, and that's not true. God loves you and accepts you just as you are. And he doesn't want to leave you just like that, because he loves you too much to leave you that way. He starts to shape and mold your life and create more of his son in you. Furthermore, verse 12, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. He goes, man, I wanted to see Titus. I wanted to hear about how the letter landed with you. That's what he's talking about. I wanted to hear about that communication that I made to you. Did you hear my heart? Did you hear what I was wanting to convey? Man, how important that is. He says, I was
kind of unsettled. I was really concerned about this. But taking my leave, in the middle of verse 13, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Ultimately, he has contact with Titus. And we'll get into that here, not this morning, but soon. We see there's contact with Titus, and he's comforted and he's encouraged. The thing that's interesting is, because he hadn't had contact with Titus, did it stop him from moving forward with God's purpose? Did he stop doing ministry? He kept doing what God called him to do. He kept going the course that God purposed for him to go on. He didn't stop doing anything. He stayed with it. And he continued to place his faith and his trust in God. Because he says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us to victory in Christ. Ultimately, victory is yours. Ultimately, victory is mine in the person of Jesus Christ. Always. Always, 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 we will be victors in Christ. He leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, think about this. When you think about the word knowledge, what do you think Paul is conveying when he talks with people? The knowledge of the love of God. The knowledge that you can be forgiven. The knowledge simply of the gospel itself. The good news that you and I have within us. That knowledge, that's not common knowledge all over the world. That's not common to everyone. Some people know God in a religious way, and therefore it's only head knowledge. They know about God. They know that a God exists, but it didn't travel from here, that 15 or 17 inches from your head to your heart. It has to make that, it's got to make it from your brain to your heart. Because the transaction takes place in the realm of the Spirit when I surrender my life to God. So it's not just about believing that there is a God, because the Bible says that the demons believe, they know that God exists and they tremble, but they're not saved. The good news is that you and I have salvation. This is what Paul, when Paul's talking about being led in triumph and following Christ and trusting God, no matter what was going on, whatever the situation, he trusted God. And that there was this diffusing, this fragrance of the knowledge, of his knowledge. In every place they went, there's this fragrance of the presence of God. Is that what you leave when you walk away from that cubicle when you're talking with someone? Did you leave behind that kind of fragrance? Was there any sense of the presence of God there at all? Even if, as we read on, they kind of hate you for it? You got to be kidding me if you think, just because you're saying, thinking, and doing the right thing in the Lord, that everybody's just going to, oh, God, that's so great. You know, that's foolishness, isn't it? Jesus said, they will hate you for my name's sake. Not everybody's into it that you're a Christian. Not everybody thinks that's a good thing. There's neighbors that don't think that's a good thing. There's friends that don't think, there's family. There's a lot of people that are directly adverse to that relationship that you have with God. There is something that's diffused, though. This fragrance of the presence of God is diffused. Something is given off when this takes place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. He says that fragrance is going to be sensed by both parties. There's going to be a sense that God was there. But the response isn't necessarily always going to be the same, is it? That response isn't always going to be the same. The fragrance is there. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. He says, look it, to those who believe in God. You ever had that conversation where you're talking with someone and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, you're a believer, aren't you?
They've said something that indicated to you that they love God too, that they know God. Man, that's a great sense of connection that takes place. Oh, that's awesome. You remember taking maybe your kids to school and you've been praying. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that teacher's a believer. How awesome that is, you know? So if you're a school teacher in the public schools, God bless you. Stay with it, man. It's a good thing. It's an important thing. Those kids need to know that God's around, that God loves them. And man, you're a blessing to some parents, I assure you. But there's some. And in the workplace, it's the same thing. It's death. They know that you believe, and they don't believe in God, and they want you to get away from them. They don't believe what you're saying, and they're angry about what you believe, and they just push you away. Now, I'm never offended about that personally, because I know how the Holy Spirit works in that way, and sometimes the Holy Spirit's like a rock going into a big group of dogs. And that rock goes flying out there, and the one that yelps the most, the one that's barking the most, that's vicious about it and wound up the most about it, is probably the one that got hit with the rock. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes flying out, boom, and the person that's, man, they're the ones that are real close to the kingdom. Don't be offended. Just continue to love. Understand that this is how it goes. Sometimes we just get so boxed into, and it's all about us, and now they don't like me. Who cares? They might not have liked you anyway. It really isn't about you, is it? Really? It's not about whether people like you or dislike you. It's not about just being offensive as a Christian, you know, to be offensive and just say, oh yeah, well, I'm a Christian, so that's why. No. It's because nobody likes you. It's just all there is to it, you know. It has nothing to do. Don't drag God into this situation, you know. You get what I'm saying. Sometimes it can go both ways, but the idea is that, man, that idea of being a blessing and that there's this pleasant fragrance and that there's this bond that takes place when we find out that they're a believer and they're blessed too. It's an aroma leading to life. And for others, don't bring up your God stuff with me. I'm tired of hearing it. And they're just offended and they're upset. And it's a bummer. And I know that. And then Paul says, and we'll talk about this because we'll catch this in our next study. And who is sufficient for these things? Paul ultimately answers that. Who can deal with all that? Who should really carry this load? Who really is qualified to dispense this fragrance? Who should be doing it? We'll talk about that as we get a little bit further into chapter 3. Not this morning. For we are not as many peddling the word of God. I like that. You know, you and I, none of us are adulterating for gain. For we are not so many as peddling. We're not trying to peddle the word of God. Do you realize when you're talking with someone about the gospel, it's not a sales deal. You're not selling anybody anything. You're not trying to get them to buy in on what you believe. That's not what sharing the gospel is. Sharing the gospel is simply conveying that there's hope and there's help and there's forgiveness, and that you can experience all of that in the person of Jesus Christ. That's good news, that God does love you, that God's not up there with a mallet ready to smack you and beat you down. That's not our Heavenly Father. We're not peddling the Word of God, trying to sell people and trying to get personal gain, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And I think this is a significant thing to think through, and we'll close on this thought. I think this is worth contemplating, is when we're interacting about the things of the Lord or wherever you and I go, the reality is that the presence and the kingdom of God has drawn near to those people that day. Wherever you go as a believer, as a Christian, as a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, wherever you and I go, the presence of God is within us, and the kingdom of God dwells within us, right? That's a spiritual truth. So wherever we go, that goes with us. Whatever we're doing, whatever's going on, the kingdom of God draws near. Now, what those others do with that is personal, isn't it? That's between them and the Lord. All we can do is try and convey how they can get to the Lord if they so choose to have a relationship with the Lord. That's our prayer. That's our desire. We want to convey that as effectively as we possibly can. But the deal is you and I aren't trying to make deals for other people or try and make it something other than what it is. It's the best deal going. The gospel is the best deal going. You're messed up, no matter who you are, and you need God. God doesn't need you, but he loves you. He's still God without you. But you're in desperate need of God. It's win-win for you, and that's all there is to it. It's good news. There's absolutely no doubt about it. The deal is this. If someone can talk someone into believing, and this is what I find so dangerous, is that means someone can talk someone out of it. I really believe in the spiritual transaction that takes place in the realm of the spirit, that something happened in a spiritual way, that there's a transaction that took place. Somebody said, I surrender. I want to give my life to Jesus. They surrender. And I'm not talking about religion or anything like that. I'm talking about a relationship with God. Jesus told the religious leaders, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again if you want to have everlasting life. Because he was asking, what do I do to have everlasting life? Age-abiding life. It was this something about Jesus. It's like what's in you and me. Age-abiding life. It's the presence of the eternal living within us. It brings peace, joy. True love comes from the Lord. And when we see this, and he's kind of conveying this simple truth to us, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. You see, when you're talking with someone, you just need to share the truth. Ask that the Spirit inside yourself just say, God, help me to say what I need to say to convey the simple truth to someone. And ask the Lord, let the Holy Spirit do the work. All you are is just being used. You're just someone that's a vessel that's being used by God to do it. Not complicated. And the transaction can take place. I'm hoping that in months to come, and the only audience that we really ever have is Jesus. Isn't it great to know that you really only have one person you need to please? We really have one person to please, and that's the Lord. We just want him to be pleased. It doesn't matter if you've been married 50 or 60 years like Frank and Marie Dram. They won't stand together before the Lord. They will stand as independent believers. You too will stand alone. You will stand alone before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will give an account. And the account is not, this is not white throne judgment. You're saved by God's grace, but you will stand before the Lord, and so will I. And the only thing that's the question is what did you do with what I entrusted to you? Spiritual gifts could be part of that. What did you do with the things that God entrusted to you? Spiritual gifts could be part of that. Abilities, natural built-in abilities, talents, the way God designed you for a purpose and a thing. You know, like we learned from Frank, it was funny when he's talking, gosh, I always wondered why I was the height that I was. And then all of a sudden he finds out, man, he just fit right underneath the jungle tunnels running. For 38 years, that was his home, and that's how he lived. Designed by God to fit right where he was. Born around here, up north of here, but then lived in Ecuador in the jungles for 38 years, running through these little tunnels that were just the right height for him. Because the people, he was just a little bit taller than all the people there. God's design. What did you do? The question really is, that will be asked of each of us, is what did you do with what was entrusted to you? And to me, when I think about that, it's not about a bunch of head knowledge. It's not about a bunch of information. And it's really, to be honest with you, it's not about your personal burdens and interests. It's not about that, you guys. It's going to be about, what did you do with my son, the treasure, the gospel, the good news that was placed inside of you in that earthen vessel, your life. What did you do with that? Can you imagine? Well, I dug a hole, I put it in there, and I just buried it. Because I knew when you would come again, you're not hearing. Because I know you're an austere man. Oh no, you've those things may be true, but you're not, you didn't hear the heart of the Lord. God's made an investment in each of us. Don't you want to be able to stand before the Lord and just say, man, I did what I could with what you entrusted to me. I did what I could. I was open about my faith and my love for you, Lord. Man, what a powerful truth. What a thing to tuck away and think about. And that's not, to me, something that, you know, is something we should be, I think we can experience conviction over it, but that's it. I don't think it's something we walk around feeling guilty about or anything like that. We just got to think through. I think it's important for you and for me to take that hard examination just from time to time. Am I really doing, is my life even pleasing to you, Lord? Am I hearing you right? Are the things that are coming out of my mouth right, Lord? And then balance it up against the filtration system in James that God's word's given us. Man, we got this one life. We've got a city. Just if we didn't even leave our metropolitan area ever, we have got so much to do. There are thousands of people that will be perishing without Jesus Christ. It's a bull market for Christianity. We got all the opportunity in the world to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For me, I don't know that I could do anything but that, but pursue that. I don't know what else there is. Really. You can take your house up there and show it to the Lord? Your car? This is what I did with my life. Do you think Jesus is going to high-five you? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need any of that. He didn't need any of your stuff. God doesn't need any of that. God loves you, and he loves me, and he wants to move in and through you to be a blessing, to encourage, to lead others into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a great truth. You know, Jesus never said it was wrong having any of those things. Having those things, possessing those things is fine. But the danger, brothers and sisters, is most of our world is possessed by the things they have. That's the danger. If it possesses you, you've got trouble. You having stuff, no problem. But if it has a hold of you, that's a whole other trouble. Our world's trapped by that right now. May God guard our hearts and our lives and our minds. And may we be effective. And may we know that he is the audience that's watching. He knows what's going on. And he wants to move in and through us for his glory. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us these simple truths that we might walk in them. Lord, we want to hear you right. We want to hear your heart through your word. Thank you for Paul's transparency as he's expressing back to people that he said some very firm things to. And he was so concerned that maybe they didn't quite feel him, to know what he was really trying to convey, to understand his tone, his intent, that it was all based on love. Lord, we want to, so desperately, we want to hear your heart through your word. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, knowing that Jesus, you are our only audience. You're the only one we really need to please. Lord, we want to be forgiving, loving, and kind, Lord. And Lord, we can do that from our heart. And we pray, Lord, for the repentance of ourselves when we need to. And we pray for the repentance of others, those around us, Lord. Those that are maybe only listening to themselves and not to you. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to guide us and bring people across our paths this week that we can share simply your love with them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing and ask that our lives, you within us, would be a pleasing fragrance, Lord, to all those around us. We pray that it would honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.